The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it is a fantastic day to be a Los Angeles Lakers fan, bitches, because Luka is a Laker, Luka is a Laker, Luka is a Laker. Oh my God, y'all. Luka Doncic has been traded to the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis. Now, let me tell y'all, this is an absolute dream come true for me personally. I love Luka Doncic. I have always imagined Luka Doncic in a Lakers jersey. It's just I never thought it was ever going to happen. I assumed Dallas was always going to ride with Luka because the dude is a beast. And I just never thought there would be a time ever we would get Luka, maybe at the tail end of his career or some shit. Nah. So Saturday, I'm watching the Lakers play the Knicks. And after the game, I mean, it was a dominating game, too, by the Lakers. They just played great. They played fantastic. As a matter of fact, they were playing great without Anthony Davis because, you know, he strained his abdomen, so he had been out last week, hadn't played any of the games. But the games that the Lakers played, they were actually playing really well, which is shocking because usually when AD isn't playing well or he's injured, we usually suck. But for some reason, we were playing well. So the Knicks game, I'm watching the Knicks game, and I even say, I'm like, damn, we're actually playing well without AD tonight. So I go to bed, and I wake up the next morning, and I see, you know, Bleacher Report updates, and that's not uncommon on my phone because, you know, shit happens while I'm asleep. And so I just wake up, and I see Lakers trade for Luka. And I'm, like I said, I just woke up. So I'm like, am I imagining this? Is this what I'm really seeing? So I actually had to turn the TV to NBA TV as soon as I saw that. And it was real. It was legit. Now, I will say, I love Anthony Davis. I think it sucks he's no longer a Laker anymore. I really appreciate what he did for the team. I think he was an excellent Laker, and I really enjoyed his time. But wow, I can't believe we actually got Luka Doncic. And what's so fantastic about this, for me, in my opinion, like I said, huge fan of Luka's, but the dude is only 25 years old. So like, I've been dreading the next upcoming years before we traded for Luka, because I'm like, well, what's it going to be like without LeBron? Because, you know, it didn't look like we had any real major future on the horizon. We didn't have any draft picks that we went after or anything other than, you know, Connect. He was doing well. Traded him away, though. Getting Luka is just, oh, man, just a dream for me personally. And I know all of us Lakers fans are very excited about it right now. And Dallas Mavericks fans are not excited about that. As a matter of fact, the Mavericks, man, doing Luka dirty. I mean, obviously, I don't know what's going on there. Obviously, he had some type of issue with the GM, him and the GM, because, you know, Mark Cuban, when he initially drafted Luka years ago, he had even been quoted as saying he will never trade Luka. He will divorce his wife before he ever trades Luka, and here we are. Now, granted, Mark Cuban is now just a minority owner in the team, no longer really has a say in any of that kind of stuff that goes on anymore, but that just kind of goes to show you that it's like, obviously, the rift really is between Luka and the GM, and the fan base is pissed off. You know, as I would be too, because you're trading away a generational player right there. I mean, they were just in the NBA Finals last year, and Luka was the reason why. Come on, y'all. So, crazy trade. Did not expect it, and I am fucking ecstatic about it. I mean, I'm not expecting the Lakers to win a championship this year. I think it's obviously possible because, I mean, come on. LeBron and Luka, and LeBron is playing at an dude just dropped 42 points last night. Or the night before, whenever the last Lakers game was, dude just dropped 42 points. So he's just been having a phenomenal, insane year. And you get Luka back out there on the court and see what happens. And then, you know, we just traded for the center from the Hornets. Looks like he's going to be a nice guy to add in here. But I kind of feel like the Lakers, they're going to have to start gelling, putting the team together, and they'll be more of a championship contender next year. But who knows? It's basketball. Anything can happen in basketball. Things can change, especially after the All-Star break. But man, I was not expecting to wake up to that news, and I was ecstatic over that news. By the way, I already bought my Luka jersey. Actually ended up buying an Anthony Davis jersey on the same day because his jerseys were half off. So I was like, I got to take advantage. I mean, like I said, I love Anthony Davis. Thought he was a great dude. Won us a championship, so I have no issues rolling around in an AD jersey. But I already got my Luka jersey on order. Did not get it yet because, sure, they're putting that shit together right quick. I can't be the only one who has already ordered that. But this NBA trade deadline was insane because not only did Luka and AD get moved, but De'Aaron Fox, he was finally traded away from the Sacramento Kings. He finally got traded away to the San Antonio Spurs, which I think is a good move for the Spurs to get somebody else in there with Wemby, who's a legit player. So now you have Fox, CP3, Wemby all on the same team. Not saying they're a championship-level team yet, but that's a great piece to add to what already looking like it's got a good future squad in the Spurs. And then finally, Jimmy Butler was traded as well. He was traded to the Golden State Warriors. I think he's going to fit right in with this team. Once again, I don't think this makes him a championship-level team. They've got a lot of issues in Golden State. But Jimmy did get what he wanted. He got a contract extension from the Warriors, so he's going to be there at least in the next couple of years. And we'll see what he's got going with Steph Curry. I kind of feel like the two of them are going to fit right in with each other, but you never know. But finally, the Jimmy Butler versus Pat Riley saga is over. Like I said, I don't know why the Miami Heat were holding on to him for so long, and they literally traded him at like the last minute. So that might have just been a last fuck you, basically, from Pat Riley to Jimmy Butler. So now that we've got all the NBA major trade deadlines out of the way, the rest of the show is all Super Bowl 59, because that's what we have coming up this weekend for the end of the season. I will say, not really excited about this Super Bowl, simply because don't give two shits and a fuck about the Chiefs. As a matter of fact, I'm sick to death of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I hate the Philadelphia Eagles, so I really don't give a shit who wins this one. I will say, I am rooting for the Eagles. I will be avidly rooting for the Eagles in this one. I've already said it from the jump, and that's just because I am sick to death of the Kansas City Chiefs, plain and simple. I would rather see the stupid-ass Eagles win and see the stupid-ass Chiefs win yet another one, especially this team. This Kansas City Chiefs team has been so boring to watch. They've pretty much just, every team that they beat, they just fall apart on their own, and it's just, that's always a frustrating thing for me to watch, especially when you're like, dude, you could have beat them, and then you just shit the bed on your own. And yes, they shit the bed on your own, sit around, bitch, and complain about the refs. Sorry, that's not why the Chiefs win. The Chiefs win because the other team shits the bed. That is what literally, consistently happened all season long. And that's why I can't jive with them. But here we are, Kansas City Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite. I personally think the Eagles are the better team. They're the more talented team. They have way more weapons, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They are the number one defense. So I feel like if there's anything that the Eagles can do and try and take out Mahomes any way they can, this is the defense that could do it. And then as far as the offense goes, they are extremely talented. They are way more talented. The Chiefs are pretty much Patrick Mahomes, and that's it. The Eagles have Jalen Hurts. They have A.J. Brown. They have Smith, the other receiver. They have Dallas Goedert. And then they also have Saquon Barkley, of course, back there. So this offense, they just have so many ways to score. They have so many ways to win. They get it on the ground. They get it through the air. And Jalen Hurts had a fantastic game as well, the last playoff game. So they're really putting it together. And I do think overall they are the better team. But this is the stupid-ass Chiefs. And like I said, the theme all season has been every team is able to just keep it close. And it looks like they're going to win. And it looks like they might do something. And then they just leave too much time on the clock for Mahomes. And then he's just able to do his Mahomes magic, and then they're able to just get that walk-off win as they always do. And that's just been every single game for them this season, other than the loss against the Buffalo Bills in the regular season. But other than that, especially in the playoffs, they actually haven't looked terrible in the playoffs. They've actually played good football in both of their playoff games so far. So this is just what the Chiefs do. They just win. That's why they're the defending champs. That's why they're going for a three-peat, because that's what good teams do. They know how to win in situational football. They've been here multiple times before, so all that experience really does help you out. And sorry, but that's just, it is what it is with the Chiefs. You can try and make up all the haterade excuses you want, but they win because they are good. You don't just magically make the Super Bowl because you wave a magic wand and say, we want the Chiefs here. That's just not the way it works. With that being said, I would like to take the Eagles. I actually hope the Eagles kick their ass. I don't even want it to be a close game. Like, I legit would love to see the Eagles score on every single drive and just obliterate the Chiefs. I would not be upset with a 42-7 Philadelphia Eagles win. But I don't think that that's even remotely going to happen, number one. But number two, like I said, the theme of the season has been typical. And to me, yes, the Eagles are a loaded team. They're a stacked team, but they've also had their down moments as well. Now, not recently. They've made a great playoff run, and they really haven't had any issues in the playoffs. They've played really, really good. But I just can't pick against the stupid-ass Kansas City Chiefs. It's just not in me to pick against them with the way they've been playing. I can't. I just can't fucking do it because everybody has shit the bed. I'm crossing my fingers the Eagles don't do it, but I think they're going to do it. And so I, of course, have a close one, Kansas City Chiefs winning 24-21. But I will say, when I was writing the score out earlier in the week when I was doing the outline for the show, I accidentally just, without even thinking, wrote down Philadelphia Eagles are going to win 27-17. And I even looked at it and I was like, what the fuck are you thinking, Katie? The Eagles aren't going to win shit. So I'm just putting it out there just on the off chance they actually do win and that ends up being the score. That was actually what I originally wrote down, but I just don't see the Eagles getting over the hump. But I'm really actually looking forward just to the end of the Super Bowl so we could get on to the 2025 season and just get into the free agency and the draft, because I am these two teams, I can't stand either one of them, and I don't want to see either one of them win, and I don't care what happens to either of them. So I'll just be watching the game, of course, because I always watch the Super Bowl, but don't give a shit who wins. But I will be rooting for Philly, but I have the Chiefs winning. We also have a halftime show this year from Kendrick Lamar. Now, before I give my opinion on that, I will let y'all know I actually am a Kendrick Lamar fan. Listen to his music regularly, but I gotta say, I think this is a terrible choice for a halftime show. Reason being is his audience reach is not really beyond hip-hop. People can act like it is, but it's really not. He's only got like 3 number one hits. The majority of the audience is really not going to care much for him. I can pretty much guarantee that. I think it's just a terrible choice. I don't think he's going to put on a show that anybody's really going to I don't think it's going to be a memorable halftime show. That's all I'm saying. I just think it's going to be one of those meh that everybody forgets about. I don't even think anybody, you know how usually everybody has to debate about it, because you know you got to debate about everything these days, but I don't even think it's going to be that. I think most people are just going to be underwhelmed by it and then just move along and forget about it and yada, yada, yada. But me personally, I'm hoping that he actually, because I'm a fan of his, but I will say, I will call him a hit or miss artist with me, meaning I like some of his songs, but then there's other songs of his I'm like, meh, this is lame. So I wouldn't be shocked if I unfortunately don't like most of his set, because I wouldn't be shocked if he plays a bunch of songs I don't really care for. But it would I'll be looking forward to a few tracks. I know he's going to play a couple of them that I do like, but I think overall it's going to be a very underwhelming halftime show for most, because I don't think he's not going to reach. He's just not going to reach a lot of people. And like I said, his music, he's got a couple number one hits that aren't really, they're not catchy. They're not those type of songs that mainstream people like. So I just think it's going to be a very underwhelming halftime show. So let's get on to my annual tradition of my top five Super Bowl hotties. This year we have zero Kansas City Chiefs making it because not only do I think they're a boring-ass team overall, but they're all a bunch of bunk-ass, boring-ass looking dudes too. And that includes Travis Kelce. He looks like a big mouth-breathing oaf to me, so I do not give a shit that he's with Taylor Swift. That does not make him hot to me. As a matter of fact, it's been quite the opposite reaction for me because I've actually had to hear him speak over the last 2 years now, and he's got about one more brain cell than Rob Gronkowski, and that is not a compliment. So no Kansas City Chiefs made this list. As a matter of fact, there's a couple who made the list who aren't playing, but they will be there this Sunday. So let's get to the top five Super Bowl hotties of this weekend. Now, I either had to pick people from the two teams playing this week, or I picked people from Fox because the Super Bowl is on Fox this year, so we have some announcers and pregame shows where there's people on there. So, yeah, I picked from them, too. So, ha-ha. Anyways, number five, I have wide receiver A.J. Brown as my top five Super Bowl hottie. He's just got an excellent smile and looks fan-fucking-tastic without a shirt on. I mean, whoa. Perfect. Number 10 body right there. That guy's got abs for days. Ooh, great arms. Just looks fantastic without a shirt on, but he also just has an excellent smile. So A.J. Brown, number five on my top five Super Bowl hotties. Number four on my top five Super Bowl hotties, I have Howie Long. Yes, Howie Long is not playing this weekend. As a matter of fact, Howie Long has not played in, Jesus Christ, like 30, 40 years now at this rate. But he will be on the pregame show for the Fox Sports. And I mean, don't care how old he is, he still looks fantastic. He looks as great as he did when he played back in the day. Howie Long at number four. Number three, I put on here solely because I know it's going to piss off a bunch of people. Just his even presence at the game, I know is going to piss people off, but another reason why I put him on this list. Not that he's ugly or anything. He actually is a very attractive guy, but I had to put him on here just because I know it's going to piss people off. Number three on my top five Super Bowl hotties, Tom Brady. He's not even playing, but he's going to be in the booth just to piss y'all off. Oh, man. Ooh, I don't like him announcing games. Well, too bad, bitches. Y'all thought you were getting rid of him in the Super Bowls? Nope. Super Bowl Brady is here, and he's staying because too bad for y'all. It's the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's got to be at the Super Bowl. So first year of him doing color commentating, and first year he's at the Super Bowl. So, I put him on the list just because I know it's going to piss people off, especially because, you know, all y'all got the Tom Brady haterade. We're all supposed to sit around and glorify the almighty Greg Olsen when it's like, who gives a fuck? This stupid idiot's talking in the booth. Get over it. Anyways, number two on my top five Super Bowl hotties, quarterback Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. I hate to admit it, but the dude is fine as hell. He has amazing facial structure. I know that's a really weird thing to be pointing out, but he's got like a perfectly shaped face. But he's just a very attractive guy. I mean, it was even a compliment earlier in the week when he was being interviewed. One of the people asking him questions actually asked, how do I get as good looking as you? Because my girlfriend thinks you are the most attractive man on the planet. So obviously I'm not the only one who thinks he is good looking. But number one on my top five Super Bowl hotties is running back Saquon Barkley, his first year with the Philadelphia Eagles. I just think he's a very attractive man. He's got an excellent smile and he's got amazing skin as well. It's just like this perfect, pristine skin. Just a very, very good looking dude. And he's pretty much the only Eagle who doesn't really make me want to vomit. Even though, you know, I did put A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts on here. But with Saquon, I mean, it's just like, I just really respect his game. I've always respected his game since he was running back at Penn State. So it's just that might be it too. But probably his nice smile as well. It helps. So he's not only one of the best running backs in the league. To me, he's also the MVP of the league. But he's also number one on the top five Super Bowl hotties list. Oh, I also forgot to mention who I am predicting is going to be the Super Bowl MVP. Patrick Mahomes, of course. That's who I'm going to go with because that's all the Chiefs got, other than their defense. Their defense is obviously fantastic, but I don't know if they're going to have much of an answer to really stop what the Eagles got going on. I just kind of feel like it's going to be, like I said, one of those things. Eagles are going to shit the bed straight up, and I think it's just going to be Mahomes magic as always, so that's who I've got winning the Super Bowl MVP as well. Then we also had some end-of-season awards announced last night. The MVP ended up being quarterback Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. As I said, I disagree with that. I think it was Saquon Barkley, who's in the Super Bowl, who had the most consistent year, who had a record-breaking year. He went over 2,000 yards. As a matter of fact, he only needs something like, I think, 84 yards to break the all-time rushing record in if you count the regular season and postseason. So he's actually legitimately about to break a record. Everybody was going back and forth between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I have remained consistent with my opinion on Saquon Barkley being MVP, but that's neither here nor there. They were always going to give it to a quarterback. Josh Allen got it. Can't really argue against it. I kind of feel like both he and Lamar Jackson had equally balanced seasons. You could kind of point to certain things in their game statistically, but I mean, you can literally make up statistics and make them sound however you want them to sound. That's pretty much what everybody does. That's why I hate statistical arguments, because that's actually not what matters. Obviously, both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, you take them off their teams, both of those teams are going to suck. But real talk, I mean, Josh Allen was the backbone of his team. Lamar Jackson had Derrick Henry on his team, a good defense on his team. He actually had some pretty decent offensive weapons, whereas the Bills were pretty much Josh Allen, except James Cook as well. But I mean, he had some okay receivers, decent tight ends, very good offensive line play. But I mean, come on, Josh Allen is obviously an MVP. Didn't win the Super Bowl though, but Saquon is there. Then the coach of the year ended up being the Minnesota Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell. I mean, that's pretty obvious to me. I mean, they had one of their greatest regular seasons of all time. And just keep in mind, all of these awards, the end of the season awards, only matter for the regular season. That is it. That's all they matter for. And so that's what you get. And obviously, he's the coach of the year. Then comeback player of the year ended up being Joe Burrow. You know, he missed last year with a wrist injury, came back this year, and basically had his greatest season he has ever had in his entire career. Offensive player of the year ended up being Saquon Barkley of the Philadelphia Eagles. Like I said, should have been MVP, but offensive player of the year definitely deserving. Then defensive player of the year went to Denver Broncos cornerback Patrick Surtain II. I mean, nobody locked it down more than him this year. You actually probably could have picked between probably five defenders this year, and they went with the cornerback, which is pretty crazy, because I don't think a lot of us were talking about Surtain. I mean, you're talking about a whole lot of other dudes. I don't think we really talked about Surtain a lot this year, but obviously what he did on the field this year was huge for the Denver Broncos defense. Offensive rookie of the year went to quarterback Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders. I don't think there was any question it was going to him. And the defensive rookie of the year ended up going to the linebacker Jared Verse of the Los Angeles Rams. And he had a fantastic year. He was everywhere for the Rams. And he basically is, you know, I mean, he doesn't play defensive tackle. And Aaron Donald, that's who he would be, quote, replacing. But he looked pretty Aaron Donald-esque by chasing around all the quarterbacks he did this year. So the Rams look like they've got a bright future with Jared Verse at the linebacker position. Then we also had the 2025 Pro Football Hall of Fame class announced yesterday as well. No first balloters this year, which was very shocking because they had their pick of the litter. Now, the big deal was Eli Manning, and I am so glad he did not get in on his first ballot. Not saying Eli isn't a Hall of Famer. I personally, if I was a voter, I probably wouldn't vote him in, because yes, he won a couple of Super Bowls, and yes, he did play well in the playoffs, but overall, Eli wasn't like a game-changing quarterback. And that's kind of what I would need to, like, vote for you. Like, for example, next year, Drew Brees is up for Hall of Fame. Obviously, that's a first balloter right there, because Drew Brees literally became a New Orleans Saint and turned that entire franchise around by taking them to a Super Bowl. So, like, that's what I mean by a game changer. Eli didn't really do that. I'm not trying to say he was a terrible quarterback, but he was most certainly not a first ballot Hall of Famer, and thankfully he did not get in on his first ballot, because there's a lot of people who haven't made it quite yet. Still, Torrey Holt, I've gone on a few rants about this almost every year about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I can't believe wide receiver Torrey Holt still not in after this year, but that's why it was going to piss me off if Eli made it and Torrey Holt didn't, because Torrey Holt was way more of a game changer for his team than Eli Manning ever was. And those are facts. But let's talk about the guys who did make it. Now, it is the smallest introductory class since 2005, because there's only four guys who made the cut this year. That just goes to show you kind of what everybody was thinking. I kind of feel like a lot of people were looking at a lot of the first-timers going, do they really belong in? And we actually have a couple of guys on here who waited a long-ass time and probably should have been in years ago and finally got in. So let's start off with Eric Allen. He is in his 19th year of eligibility. So see what I'm saying? Some guys got to wait a long-ass time. And I know a lot of people don't remember Eric Allen because he played back in the 80s and the 90s, but he was a lockdown cornerback, mostly for the Philadelphia Eagles. He did play on a couple other teams, but he's mostly known as a Philadelphia Eagle. He spent the majority of his career there. But, I mean, he was a ball hawk. He was always on the field. He is probably one of the first lockdown, shutdown cornerbacks who was a ball hawk. He really put cornerbacks on the map. And I kind of feel like this is 19 years too long for him to wait, but here he finally is. He's probably really excited about it now that he's waited this long. His career numbers, 54 career interceptions and 9 career touchdowns. He was one of the first cornerbacks ever to really start intercepting balls and running them back for touchdowns. I can't remember what record he has. I believe it's something he's got like 5 touchdowns in. I can't remember the exact stat. I probably should have written it down, obviously, but he was a ball hawk, and he absolutely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's waited such a long time, and here he is. Then, I cannot believe this guy has waited this long. I felt like he was a first balloter. Maybe it's because of the class he was nominated with, but defensive end Jared Allen. This guy, he's in his 5th year of eligibility, so that's where I'm like, man, it really took 5 years for Jared Allen to get inducted into the Hall of Fame, because if you don't remember, Jared Allen is legitimately one of the best defensive ends of his era. I mean, we had him and Julius Peppers, and those were two beasts. Now, he's mostly known for his time with the Minnesota Vikings, of course, and then ended his career with the Carolina Panthers. He also had a little stint with the Chicago Bears as well, but he was a sack master, and he was so unblockable, such a crazy defender. I can't believe it took him 5 years to finally get in, but well-deserved, has 136 career total sacks, and he almost actually had the single-season record as well. He fell short by, I believe, like a half sack, one and a half sacks, something like that, but he came close, and I mean, just like I said, I can't believe he's had to wait this long, because it was him and Julius Peppers were a nightmare for quarterbacks about 10, 15 years ago. Then another well-deserved guy. I kind of feel like he paved the way for tight ends these days. Antonio Gates spent his entire career with the San Diego Chargers. This is his second year of eligibility. And the thing about Antonio Gates is he never even played football growing up. He was a basketball player, and he just went on a whim and tried out for football, and the Chargers drafted him, and he would go on to have one of the most prolific tight end careers of all time. And the reason why I say he kind of started this era of tight end with like Gronkowski and Kelsey, I think and Tony Gonzalez did come before Antonio Gates too, so I'm not trying to say Gonzalez or Witten, those are two other tight ends that I look at who are just greats. But Antonio Gates, he made the tight end position very visible, and he just was such a damn good player. I don't know what it was about him, but I just remember when he played, he was such a good tight end. He just was always reliable and was always there. His career numbers, 11,841 yards and 116 touchdowns. He also owns multiple Chargers records, all-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. So obviously an absolute Hall of Famer. And like I said, I feel like personally, he was kind of the beginning of this. Let's look at the tight end as more than just that guy who kind of just goes out there and blocks, maybe catches a touchdown in the red zone here and there. No, Antonio Gates basically made it cool to like have 40-yard runs and be the biggest guy. His basketball skills absolutely helped him in his in his years as a tight end too, because you could see him posting up in the end zone all the time, and he just used his body weight and just kind of pushed the other dude out of the way and get touchdowns that way. But he was extremely reliable and one of the best tight ends that the NFL has ever seen. And then the last inductee, and I feel like it's about time for this guy too. I kind of feel like he's also in that Torrey Holt category where it's like, how has he not been put into the Hall of Fame? And that is wide receiver Sterling Sharp. He played his entire career with the Green Bay Packers. If you don't know, he is Shannon Sharp's brother. Shannon Sharp is a Hall of Fame tight end. These are the actual first pair of brothers ever to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. You know, Shannon, he was inducted many years ago because he was one of the greatest tight ends of all time as well. He was a first balloter, of course. But Sterling has had to wait many, many years. As a matter of fact, he is what they call basically like the special introduction into the Hall of Fame. He gets voted on by a different group of people. He's what is known as a legacy vote. Basically, you've been here waiting your turn forever, and there's just a whole bunch of us who are like, how has this guy not made it yet? And he finally got voted in this year by his peers, which was what matters the most. But I mean, he was one of the most consistent wide receivers of his era. It just sucks because a lot of guys in the 80s and 90s overshadowed by Jerry Rice, because Jerry Rice, one of the greatest football players to ever do it. And when he was on the field, he was basically like Jordan. You just always had your eyes on him. He was all you ever talked about. Of course, he played in more Super Bowls than everybody, so all eyes were on Jerry Rice. But Sterling Sharp was just another one of those good-ass receivers back in the day, like the Tim Browns, and all those dudes who just, the Michael Irvins, just the guys who were there, maybe not got all the accolades that Jerry Rice did, but, I mean, they were so reliable. I mean, Sterling Sharp led the league in receiving and touchdowns a few times. He just was an excellent receiver. His career numbers, 8,134 receiving yards and 65 receiving touchdowns. And he absolutely deserved to be here, and took him a long-ass time to get there, but that's why they have that legacy vote, because, like I said, some of these guys, they wait a long-ass time, but you get there, and no first balloters this time. That's a very, very rare thing when there isn't at least one first ballot guy in there, but I think this is a good class. I think all deserving guys, for sure, definitely game changers as well. Each and every one of them, complete game changers, and they will finally have their day in August. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday. And remember, Luka is a Laker, bitches. Yeah!